Doug Brodess joining us on the Revolution Hotline. Doug, that's what it all comes down to, my man.
Absolutely.
The matchup that we all had predicted in our brackets, not really. We actually did have one guy here at the station that had Michigan and Louisville in the final, and he, of course, claimed our buzz bracket. He took home all the money.
Well, if you had those two, that's not as amazing as if you had all four of the final four. But
true.
Still pretty impressive if you get the final the championship game right.
I was thrilled to have Louisville in there. I was actually pleased that I got half of it. So anyway, but they were the overall number one seed. It wasn't like I went out on a huge limb.
Right.
So what was your take on the – and we haven't really even gotten into this. We were just talking about the matchup. We have not even looked back at the Final Four games. I thought Wichita State got a horrific call at the end of that game. That was, if that's a held ball, then I'm 6'5". That was a nonsensical call. I hated it, and it took away a chance. They may not have hit a three. They may not have forced overtime, but I thought Wichita State deserved the chance. Other than that, it was just a great college basketball game and a nice comeback by the Cardinals.
Well, it definitely was a great game, and I think that lots of props to Greg Marshall. I think that he could not have prepared his team better to play that game because they did not. Obviously, they went out and scored the first 8 points of the game, and so from that standpoint, they were not intimidated. They were not afraid. They came out and did what they needed to do. And I would say that realistically, what happened was that they played as good as they could for 30 minutes, and then it just started to unravel. And so, unfortunately for them, the game is 40 minutes.
Yeah, that does stink, because if it was like 38, they would have had a good chance to win.
Absolutely.
So what about in the other game? Were you as surprised as we were? Because the formula for beating Syracuse is you're going to get looks against the zone, at least beyond the arc. You better knock down jump shots. They didn't, and they still won.
Well, the thing that surprised me more than just kind of generally about not knocking down jump shots is that if you look at their top three scorers, with Burke, Hardaway Jr., and Nick Stauskas, just did not play a good game as far as their shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that standpoint, you would have thought, boy, if those three are not hitting, I think they combined scored 20 points, which is less than half of what they're doing during the regular season. There's no way that they're going to beat Syracuse, but they did. Mitch McGarry is having a great tournament, and I think that that's one of the things that, you talk about nobody predicting. Well, nobody would have predicted Mitch McGarry was going to have the kind of tournament that he has. But he's been doing very well.
Is he the MVP?
Well, I think it depends on what kind of game he has tonight. Because unfortunately, the Final Four MVP has more to do with the championship game than the national semifinal game.
Yeah.
And so I think if somebody blows up tonight, they've got it. Because right now, there's nobody that can really say, going into this game, played a great great game, I guess, unless Luke Hancock goes off and... I guess then possibly you could have him. But no, I don't think any of the top players on either team go in with a real advantage if you're looking at the Final Four most outstanding player.
Doug Brodess, BleacherReport.com's lead basketball writer, joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline. And the thing is, I normally try to look at some sort of, cosmic clue. And there seems to be two teams of destiny here. I mean, to me, you got a game that you cannot possibly win against a program like Kansas, and Michigan does just that. And then you get the situation with Kevin Ware, which seems to give his teammates an extra boost. The guy's lying there in the court with his leg snapped in half, and he's telling them, just go win the game. So you really are dealing with two teams that seem to be teams of destiny. Somebody's going to lose tonight. I don't know who, but, I mean, it's really two great stories and two teams that have had really interesting emotional runs to the championship game.
And as much as the old slogan about defense winning championships, I think that's going to be true tonight. And I don't, even though that might seem like it gives Louisville the clear advantage, one of the things that has impressed me about Michigan going through the tournament is that they have discovered the defensive end of the court, and I think that they have the athletes to do it.
Yep.
It's just, can they sustain that for 40 minutes?
Well, that's part of it, but think about it this way. Now, I realize Louisville is the best of the best, but still. Okay, VCU has an unbelievably well-respected defense, not only in the way that they have athletes, but the fact that they've got, the way it's coached. Same thing with Kansas. And they have athletes, and they play great defense, and they have one of the best shot blockers in the country. And then you go and you win in the semi against, Syracuse in that zone, which nobody seems to have an answer for.
Constricting zone.
I mean, you've won against different kinds of teams. I mean, they're pretty well, I would think, versed. The big thing is, can you take care of it? Because, I mean, that's the thing. If you cannot give up turnovers, they're going to find a way to score in the half court, I think. The question is, will they take care of the basketball?
And right now, I think that, you know, that at least is something that Michigan has done well overall, but I don't think that they have seen the press or the pressure that Louisville is going to bring. And so that's somewhat of an unknown going into tonight, because I do believe that when you look at Burke, when you look at Hardaway Jr., even all the way up to Glenn Robinson, you know, I think that you have guys who can handle it. It is whether or not Louisville can kind of press the tempo, I think, because I think that that's really when Louisville gets going, is that they can force you out of what speed you want to play and into a tempo that is a little bit further than where you want to go. And, yeah, Michigan likes to run it up and down, but there's a difference between running it up and down when we've got the ball and we're, you know, on a fast break, and when we're dealing with full court pressure.
Doug Brodess joining us from BleacherReport.com on the Revolution Hotline. Doug, if you could, what are you more intrigued by tonight? Are you more intrigued by the guard play or the matchup inside between the two big guys?
Well, I guess it depends on who's guarding who, because if you've got Peyton Steven and Trey Burke going at it, I think that's a really, really great matchup there. And I really don't know if that's the way both teams are going to go that way. But you got to look at McGarry and say, can he bring it versus the Gorgie Dieng? I think that's one of those situations where I'm still going to go with the guard play. It would be more intriguing for me. I love that matchup, and I think that it's going to really be critical, because if Trey Burke can get back to the kind of Wooden Award, Naismith Award form, I think that Michigan can win. I think that if Siva can hold him in check, or just Burke just does not play well, then it's going to go Louisville.
McGarry has probably done himself more good than just about anybody in this tournament. And I was trying to think of somebody who he's similar to, and they were talking about, you know, you got a guy like Weber who was a well-rounded player at 6'10". But he's really, to me, because he's not overly explosive, but he's and the way we saw him pass the ball and distribute the ball and really be kind of the key cog in the offense the other day, and the way that they broke down that zone, he reminds me a little bit of the way that Kevin Love plays.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Mitch McGarry, one of the things that he has done in this tournament is that he has gone from being kind of a secondary role player on that lineup to being somebody that, while they're not still just pounding it inside, he still is benefiting a whole lot of, you know, he's getting a whole lot of dishes and second chance, you know, putbacks. But I think that he really has really changed things. There's some people that say, you know, from, you know, coming back next year to a lottery pick. I'm not sure yet that I'm going to say lottery pick, because I think that there's still some scouts that will say, you know what, we've got to see it, one in the biggest game, and then also maybe in some, you know, further workouts. But if a guy doubles his output from the regular season to the tournament, you've got to take some notice. You've got to give him some attention.
All right, give it to me. What do you think? How's it play out tonight?
I think that it will be as close of a game as we've seen in a long time in the championship game. I think that it possibly could go to overtime, but I do think Louisville's still coming out on top.
I don't even remember what the games were like the last couple of years. The last time I remember a really, really good game was the Memphis-Kansas game a few years ago.
Mario right. Chalmers.
Yeah,
and that probably is one of the ones you have to go back to, because, you know, last year's Kentucky game was closer than it should have been, but it wasn't down to the wire. And then before that, you had UConn and Butler. You know, not necessarily. Well, in fact, that was one of the ugliest tournament games that I can remember.
Yeah.
And then I guess the year before, you had Duke.
Butler-Duke. Well, and they had a three-pointer to force overtime, so that was a close game.
Right, right. But there still is that whole issue. I still think it's going to come down to a free throw, a last-second shot, something like that, and it happened in overtime. So from that standpoint, I'm not sure how you predict overtime, but I do think it's going to be that close.
You predict it, because that would be gutsy, and I'd love it.
Well, that's where I'm going, is Louisville in an overtime.
Doug, we really appreciate the time all through the season. You've been very insightful, and thanks a lot. I know you've got other, you know, duties and whatnot, and I appreciate you carving out some time for us through the season. It's been great.
We loved it. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Thanks
Thank
so
you,
much.
Doug.
It's Doug Brodess, BleacherReport.com's lead basketball writer. I think he's been a nice asset for the show, and certainly the relationship with Bleacher Report's been great for us too. So I guess we'll get our picks later. Big Baby said he liked Wichita State tonight, so I don't know.
Seems like a good pick to me.
We should lean on him.
Ha ha. He caught it.
Madonna, in a tribute to her Alma mater.
Which is?
Michigan.
Michigan.
True blue. I guess it doesn't really count as their alma mater if you only went there 20 minutes.
It counts. For her, it does.
Well, the Pixian doesn't want to claim her, but most
people
would.
He has to.
She did attend school there. On a scholarship, of all things.
Never would have seen that coming.
Dancing scholarship.
Of course.
Still counts.